Morning.
Morning.
What? Thank you. Okay, so remember last week I told you my foot hurt? My foot hurt. So this is a dull story, but just to, you know, to tell you all at once instead of throughout the day. There is a tendon that runs from your arch to your ankle that kind of holds your foot on straight. And apparently it is very common in middle-aged women for that tendon to get stretched and torn. And so that's what happened. And I went to the doctor, and she, you know, she had me stand up so she could look at how my feet and legs lined up, and she said, "Are your ankles always that saggy?" Really? Even my ankles? This aging thing is just relentless. Thank you. So anyway, the boot actually feels much better, makes it feel much better. In fact, this may be the supportive shoe I've always looked for. I might get a second one and just wear them all the time. But speaking of old, I have a high school friend who lives in Bulverde. So she came to visit this week, and we were at lunch at the Leaning Pear. And I was saying, "How are you? How are your kids?" My friend is 60. Her daughter is 30. And they're both wondering what they want to be when they grow up. I just seem to be attracting people who are grappling with life purpose. Either they have no idea what it is, their purpose is, or they have an idea, but they're asking, "What next? Am I carrying out my life purpose? Am I doing it right?" I think that happens naturally at some points in life. I mean, as children, we could all tell you what we wanted to be when we grew up. And I think most of us asked ourselves that again when we picked a major, when we got a job, and then when the kids leave home, and then around retirement time. Those are all times to ask, "What now? What next? Or what am I supposed to be doing?" But now it seems like everyone at every age and time of life is asking about their life purpose, which might be why books and workshops on finding your life purpose are so trendy. But it's a great question. Why am I here? Or why am I still here? What dismays me is how people beat themselves up for not immediately knowing the answer. So, as Sherry said, this is the last talk in a three-part series about life purpose. I talked last week about callings. I think maybe there is a prolonged period of discomfort before a call comes, a long time when we don't know the answer to what am I supposed to be doing. I'm not saying you have to be unhappy before you are called. Just be open to it. And that often means a sense of completion with whatever you've been doing. You've checked that box. You're ready to move on. Just don't know where to go. So for a long time, there's this sense of divine restlessness. I've told you about the hermit crab. You know, a hermit crab does not grow a shell of its own. It just finds shells on the beach to live in. But it outgrows them. So there comes a day when the crab has to run naked on the beach to find its next shell. Looking for the new shell that fits and even gives room to grow. That's when we're open to a call, when we're running around naked with no home. That's divine discomfort. And that's when we're ready to discover more of our true nature, or to answer the question, what's next? So don't beat yourself up for not knowing yet. Don't worry about or resist the restlessness. Finding the next shell that fits is what you're supposed to be doing. Now, for me, that process usually lasts longer than I would wish, although sometimes events unfold so fast it makes my head spin. In the first talk in this series, I was complaining about how the idea of life purpose has become so trendy. because I think of it as deep spiritual work. And now everybody and his brother has got a webinar or a workshop on finding your life purpose. But I decided in the course of this series to quit complaining about that. If the question, what is my life purpose, is resonating with a significant portion of the population, that's good news, because everyone's purpose will uplift humanity in some way. So anyway, in that first talk, I mentioned how many ways are being offered to help people find their life purpose, and one of them is analyzing your fingerprints or even your whole hand. Well, turns out our own Sherry Stockman does that. She knows how to do that. So after church last week, you might have seen us in there, I covered both hands in black ink and gave her my prints. And she called me a couple of days later with her analysis. You will not be a bit surprised that it showed creative self-expression, have message, need audience. Specifically, speaker and writer show up on my pinky fingerprint. And it shows my challenge is to shut down the inner critic, the voice that says, nobody wants to hear what you have to say, it's all been said, and fear of outer criticism as well. So that was no surprise, and there was a lot more detail involved in it. What surprised me was that it all shows up on my hands. It's literally carved into my skin. So think about this. Fingerprints are formed in the fourth month in utero, and they stay the same all your life. And your life purpose is written on them? Written on your hand? I just think that's so cool. Would it help to know your life purpose sooner in life? As a child, you could just read it off your hand. Oh, okay. And by the way, if you're new today, hand analysis is not a Unity teaching. It's just fun. But what I liked best was the system that was used to divide the information into life school, life purpose, and life lesson. I think that's a useful framework for anyone who is thinking about the life you intended to create, whether you get your hand analyzed or not. They use a swimming metaphor. The life school is water you swim in. It's the lens through which you see and experience everything. Mine is service, which is a big one for a lot of people, but others are peace, wisdom, love. Everything is seen through those filters. Some people have two schools, like a double major. Your life purpose is the swimming stroke you do the best. It's who you're here to be. It is your most evolved skill on a soul level, waiting to be activated on the human level. So that's where you sense that your life has meaning. And restlessness is your need to activate that skill. Life lesson is the hard part. It's the weakest swimming stroke. It's the one that needs the most work and patience and practice. It's the part of yourself you kind of wish were not there. Which led me to a huge reframe about the parts of ourselves we struggle with. If mine is an inner critic, for instance, then every time I wrestle with that, I am right on top of my life purpose and lesson. This is what I came to work on, which gives it a lot more meaning for me. It's not just an annoying habit, it's a soul challenge. And every time I can overcome it, score one for my soul. So, one of the ways you might be able to tell how you're doing on your soul purpose is how often you can blast through those barriers. Consider challenges that come up over and over are part of your purpose, not something wrong with you. They're what you came to work on. And of course, you have all sorts of divine power to help overcome it. So, you have a life purpose. You probably have some idea what it is. How are you doing with it? How can you tell? We have talked about distinguishing purpose from the vehicles to carry it out. A life purpose is not a particular job. It's also not a particular role. You can carry out your life purpose in the roles of parent, friend, employee, anything. If you're asking, what do I do now? You're probably in the process of changing roles or trading vehicles for continuing your life purpose. You might know you're a teacher, a healer, you inspire, you entertain, but what form does it take now? How will it express going forward? So I'll give you an example. Kay Orell, you know her, is she here? Yes, okay. I have her permission to talk about her. Kay was our youth director before last. Kay says she's known all her life she was born to be a teacher. Early on, the only model she had for that was school teacher in a classroom. So that's what she became, and it didn't quite fit. As she broadened her view, she later started her own school to teach based on her own philosophies, and she did that for a long time. So now Kay has just turned 60. She's not currently working, and she's asking, what next? It's so much easier to sort through all the possibilities in life when you have some sense of your basic purpose. How do you carry out this purpose now? Maybe Kay only needs to teach her grandchildren or the little boy next door. Or maybe she needs to start a new school, but she knows the overall purpose of her life. If you don't know what your purpose is or how to express it next, here are some clues. What are you naturally good at? Because it's your strongest swimming stroke. It's a gift. It might even seem too easy to qualify as a life purpose because you are so good at it. It comes so naturally. You came equipped with everything you need to do your soul work. So just notice what you're equipped for. Ask other people what they see in you. And what do you love and never get tired of? What are the moments when you think, this is what I was born to do? It feels right, even if others think you're crazy. It's rewarding, even if you're not rewarded for it. You would do it for free. You would feel terribly repressed if you couldn't do it. So if you can answer those questions, what are you naturally good at, and what do you love and never get tired of, and maybe add what idea keeps recurring to you because God is a nag, then you already have a lot of information about what could be next. Most people I talk to know more than they think they do about what they want. They know what lights their fire. They know what doesn't. Often, they don't want to carry out their life purpose the way they've seen others do it, like Kay and a classroom teacher. They can imagine life in an ideal world. They're just not sure it's possible. There may be no job with that description, or they think they need more money or more time. So how do you get from where you are to where you want to be? You remember the answer to that question? We've talked about it many times. How do you get from where you are to where you want to be? Bless and appreciate where you are. It's easy to get stuck in a state of longing for what could be or will be and miss the present moment. The book of Revelation promises a new heaven and a new earth. And when Eckhart Tolle wrote his book titled A New Earth, he said the foundation for a new earth is a new heaven. Heaven is awakened consciousness now. Whenever we create heaven in consciousness, it has to be reflected on earth. It has to manifest in form because our thoughts have creative power. He says more and more people are discovering their main purpose is just to bring light to the world. That's it, just to live more consciously, to be more awake. And then whatever they do is a vehicle for the divine. There's another author I like, Lisa Rankin, who calls these people stealth agents for God. Martha Beck calls them the team. They are those of us trying to live in alignment with the divine, or call it God, or higher self, or inner wisdom, but to live on purpose and in service. Not sacrifice, Service is not arduous, it's joyful. You serve through your strengths, and you are blessed as you bless others. Aligning with the divine brings you synchronicities, opportunities, people, and resources. You get to lead a charmed life and uplift others. It's Oprah who says her prayer every morning is, use me. She's not doing without in order to serve others. Eckhart Tolle says you feel yourself as an opening through which energy flows from the source. And a lot of you are already living this way. You've learned it can only happen in the present moment. Joy can only be experienced right where you are, not in the future. There is no future. There's only now. So you can live as one of those people bringing light to the world with or without a specific goal. We've said throughout this series, purpose isn't just what you do, but what you be. Be the light. Be a stealth agent for God, serving others. Let yourself be used for divine purposes. Stressing about not having a goal or a plan is cutting yourself off from the creative power of the universe. Besides, no one lives in a state of enthusiasm and focused purpose all the time. This is what I love about the idea of reincarnation. It really takes the pressure off. We have an infinite number of lifetimes for our soul's purposes. So do what you can this time. It doesn't have to be perfect, and you probably won't finish. Don't miss the present moments. Enjoy whatever you're doing or being instead of waiting for the next great idea before you continue with life. Awakening is not a state to be achieved in the future. It is realization right now of one presence and one power. It is right now that you express and carry out your life purpose. That sense of awareness, that deep joy and satisfaction, that lets you know you're on track. So let's meditate on these thoughts. To meditate, we simply become a little more comfortable and quiet. And maybe breathe. And remember to lower your shoulders down from your ears. In meditation, we simply turn within. Because it's usually within where we first feel that steady and constant connection with our own divine self. So if you have located the place or the feeling of connection, imagine it as a pilot light. Always on, always the divine at the center of you. It is from this place that our expansiveness comes. So turn up that light. See it brighter, bigger, filling your body and spilling out into the world. Our willingness allows us to express God on the earth. All we have to do is open to it. whatever purpose brought you into human form, part of it was to shine this light, to be an opening for God on the planet, to express the divine. And so, aside from any accomplishments or purposes you may or may not carry out, you will let your light shine. You can't help but shine. And the more aware and willing we are, the brighter the light. The more we uplift humanity just by being here. And the more divine joy we feel as well. And so for a moment, just enjoy that feeling, the connectedness, the joy, and the light in you. So grateful for this awareness of our light, of the God within us, and of a lifetime to express the divine. And so it is. Amen.